Mahomes back, throws, it is incomplete, yes. picked off by the Lions. Brian Branch with it left side, he's gone, baby, he's going to the house! Touchdown, Detroit Lions! Deflected, yes. In the air, Branch ran under it, and he took it all the way back!
Welcome to the 20 in the Huddle podcast here in Orlando, sunny Florida, for the owners' meetings. The man next to me really needs no introduction, Dan Campbell, head coach. How you doing? Thanks for joining me, taking the time.
Yeah, you bet. Absolutely.
Well, let's start with this. Congrats on the contract extension. And just what does that mean for the continuity of the top end of the leadership, getting something like that done, knowing you're going to be here and Brad's going to be here and that team is going to be together for you know, the long-term future now?
Well, it's – look, I'm very appreciative. I know Brad and myself both, and appreciative for Sheila and the Ford family and Rod getting this done. You know, and look, they didn't have to do that. So we're both very thankful. But yeah, the continuity to know, here we go, man. You know, we've kind of gotten through one phase of this. It's time to start phase two.
What's phase two?
Yeah, well, I think phase two now is all about getting to what we all want to get to, and that's get a trophy, you know? And then once you get a trophy, how many can you get?
One of the names that was among those extensions was Chris Spielman. Just what kind of a resource has Chris been to you and Brad?
Yeah, listen, Chris has been one of those guys that really you can bounce different thoughts and ideas off of. I think he can bring a certain perspective to things that I think is important for Brad and myself, you know. And it's really a wide variety of different things. It's from players to coaches to thoughts to ideas to, and so I just think he's pretty level-headed and he'll give you a legit answer. He's not going to sugarcoat anything, so I appreciate that.
What's the process like for you after a season like that? Obviously extended, 2 weeks shorter than you probably hope, but do you take time after the season to look back and you know, appreciate the run that you were on, or is it right turn the switch turns right to the next season to improving this football team? Kind of what's that process like when it's all kind of said and done, it's settled a little bit and you have that month or two to kind of reflect?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And you know, and maybe it's where I'm a little messed up. And believe me, I love what we did last year. We did accomplish some great things, but I also can't really go there. And because really what pulls at me more is the, I want to go. I want to overcome, you know, I want to overcome the loss. I want to get back and then surpass where we were last year. You know, I want to prove that we can do that. I want to, and so more than, hey, look what we did to get here, I'm so much more focused on wanting to get over the hurdle. Like, I want to get over that hurdle. I want to beat the next one.
Well, doing that, you need to add some pieces to this roster. It was funny. Somebody sent me a tweet. It said, you know, the Packers got Josh Jacobs. The Vikings got Aaron Jones. Chicago got DeAndre Swift. And the Detroit Lions are building a brick wall to stop them all. I thought it was terrific. But that's what DJ, you know, Reader is, isn't he?
Yeah. Yes, he is.
And just talk about that addition and having him and Aleem in the center there. You guys were already a terrific run defense. He helps make that a little bit better, doesn't he?
He sure does. I mean, look. Reader was one of those guys, when you start free agency and you start watching tape, he's one that immediately jumps off the tape. I mean, he just, you know, you feel like these guys are, the good Lord just kind of sends you that way. Like, look at this tape. And because you just feel like he's part of us, like he belongs with us. The way he plays, his tenacity, his strength, his violence, his finish, man, he's got leadership about him. And so he's going to grind to get back from this injury. He's ahead of schedule, or he's right on track, I should say. So, but the addition of he and Davenport opposite of Hutch, and then, man, with Aleem and Reader in the middle, it's going to be big for us, man. Those two guys, we can let them go to work a little bit.
You know Davenport. Obviously, we're with him in New Orleans. So what does he bring? How much can he help Hutch?
Yeah, listen, he's got length, and he plays with violence. And so he's an explosive athlete that, man, he can crush an edge. He can talk about closing the pocket off. If he's not going to get it, he's going to flush him to Hutch. And Hutch has proven that he can win a one-on-one. And so we're talking about – that's what's exciting about this. Man, if you got Davenport closing an edge and you can move this quarterback, just move him half a foot this way. Well, how many can you think about where Hutch was almost there in the grasp?
Probably 6-7 sacks, 8 sacks. I mean, you're talking about maybe a 20 sack season. Yeah. You know, you talked about watching the tape and a guy that just fits. Amik Robinson, you walk by him. If you walk by him in the hallway, you might not even think he's a football player. But then you throw on the tape and you watch the way he comes up and supports the run. Yeah. And he plays. He doesn't play like he's 5'8". He seems like a guy that fits what you guys do.
Yeah, there's no question. He's another one we identified as this is our type of guy. The way he competes. You just said it. I mean, turn on the tape. This guy's tenacious. He comes up. He supports the run. He really plays sticky man coverage. He's a good man coverage player. And so just the way he is, his attitude, his energy. And look, we made the Carlton Davis trade, and we were already on Amik. We made the trade, and Amik's like, yeah, I want to come. I'm still coming. Like, let's get this done. Like, he was not shied away by that. He wasn't scared. He just wants to come in and win, you know, and he wants to compete. And, I mean, that's what we are here.
Look, you've done this before. You're teasing all my next questions here because, you know, the trade for Carlton Davis, but a guy you had to scheme for twice last season. How does that help the process when you go against a guy that fresh, having to play them twice, scheme for him, see him live? Yeah. Obviously, you study the tape and everything else, but how much did that help that process of being like, okay, that guy's a fit for us?
Yeah, I think it helps a lot. And because to your point, I've got fresh validity of what this guy's able to do, man. I you're right. Facing it twice, we didn't want to throw at him. You know, there would be these things that would come up, but really he was not the guy that you're trying to target. So knowing that and what kind of player he was, he would come up and support the run. So it's not like he's going to take a play off to where you but then our defensive coaches see it and they validate, yeah, this guy, he still got it. He can play. And so really there's full buy-in with it, you know, and certainly Brad was on him for a while. So, you know, it's a credit to Brad getting this thing done.
What does it say about Emmanuel Mosley that he was still around the building last year? Obviously, tough injury. You do all that rehab. You play 2 snaps. The other one goes. But he was around the building. He was in the locker room late in the season. What does that mean to players? What does that mean to coaches? And what does it say about the player that he wanted to still be involved and be around that despite obviously a devastating injury?
Well, everybody, I don't know anybody that doesn't love E-Man. I mean, just his character, what he's about. And I think it says a lot. I think it says that, man, even though I can't play, I think it's a very unselfish thing to do. And I think he wanted to deep down be there to help, man. I, you know, wherever I can help, if I can give a point of view or just, you know, give a guy a pat on the back or anything that I can do to help, I want to be here for him. So we're excited to get him back. And because let's not forget when he will be back and he will be healthy. He's a damn good player. And so we get him back with CD. We got Amik and certainly the guys that Doris and those guys, it's going to be good.
Brad said after the season, he wasn't going to overlook the offensive line that you wanted to keep that a strength. Boy, Kevin Zeitler's not a bad little piece to throw in there, right, at right guard to keep those guys, obviously, re-signed Graham. But how important was that for you, Dan? Because that was your strength last year. And keeping that a strength, how important was that going into the offseason?
That, for Brad and I, that was going to be we did not want to feel like we slipped at the O-line, that we took a step back. Because it is. The O-line's critical for us. It's in some sense, it's an engine that we run off of. So that was going to be big. You know, listen, I'm excited for Jonah, you know, and wish him the best of luck out there. But Zeitler was, I mean, this is a good player. And I know that the age was something that a lot of teams didn't necessarily, you know, they kind of were wanting to wait this out. But when you watch the tape, this guy is the best – one of the best guards in this league after last year. Still, he's 34 and you wouldn't know it. Yeah. So It's big getting him back. And just think about him between Penei Sewell and Frank Ragnow, and it, you get pretty excited.
Did you see what Aleem had to say about playing against Kevin? It, talking about a brick wall. He said he tried to punch him. He didn't move anywhere. And Aleem and a small guy. So, no, look, he's a guy that's done it for a long time at a really high level. So,
yes,
it's fun to think about him between those two guys. Keeping Ben, keeping Aaron, keeping Dave, how important is that? You talked about it, I know, a little bit at the combine, but just that continuity in your staff, pretty important, isn't it?
I think it's big. You know, not every I think this is one of those – this doesn't happen a lot. It just doesn't, you know, because usually things happen in a good way or a bad way by the time you hit 4 years. And so we're in this, you know, we're in a position that's a little different than a lot of teams have been in a good way. And it is big to have the continuity. It is big to, you know, all these things that we've been doing for the last 3 years, and the way that I think, the way I want things done, the way I know they think, and in games, situation, all of this, man, we kind of are to the point we can read each other's minds. They know what I'm looking for, and it just, we get it done.
Just hit the ground running, right?
That's right.
Would you? I think you had a great line at the combo. Would you say you started at 4.0 instead of 1.0? I think that was the line you used.
That's right.
It was good. But a couple new additions. Terrell Williams, what does he bring to the table? And then Deshae Townsend, a couple guys.
Well, these will be excellent additions for our defense. Look, I've actually coached with Terrell Williams at Miami. He was our D-line coach when I coached out there with the Dolphins. So I know what he is. I know what he's about. And everything and any player that he touches gets better. That's what I do know. He is the best at developing talent on the D-line. And he understands how to game plan. He understands how to really pull the most out of those guys. So he's going to be an excellent asset for us. I know AG's excited as well. And Deshae's another guy. Man, he's played a lot of years in this league, and he's coached now for a long time. He really cut his teeth under Dick LeBeau, the great defensive coordinator. But he's got a great perspective on the game, and he's another guy I believe is a really good teacher, and he can communicate with those guys and get things across.
All right, just a couple more for you here, Dan. With what you guys accomplished in free agency, looked like you filled a lot of holes. Does that line up nicely for the draft, just in terms of you guys can trust your board, play your board, you don't have to reach? I know that's not a strategy you and Brad use anyways, but just the way this is set up and you look at the roster right now, it looks like you guys can pretty much just trust your board, do a lot of things to the draft. Do you like how free agency has set up the draft and adding talent that way?
Yeah, absolutely. We once we got, you know, really once we got Zeitler done, that checked the last box for the most part as to, okay, we feel pretty good. Like we've got these areas covered. We feel like, we feel like now you're ready to go to the draft. So we feel like we're set up nice. This gives us a chance to go find the best player available that we know is going to help us and it fits us. So we're sitting pretty good.
All right, last one. I'd be a little remiss if I didn't ask about the owners' meetings. We are here in Orlando. Is there anything – I know you guys proposed, you know, some rule changes. Is there anything that you feel strongly about, anyone that you hope happens more than another, or anything developing here in Orlando?
Yeah, I think the one that I would – that, you know, this new kickoff rule is something that I feel pretty strongly about. I hope this goes through. Because, you know, we completely took kickoff and kickoff return out of the league. Like, it was a non-play. And I do think that, man, there's enough players in this world, in this league, and coaches that coach special teams, play special teams, that, man, they made their way, that I think we owe it to them to get a play back in. And we can still make it – we can make it a good play. And so I think the proposal is good. I think it's a pretty good balance of things, and I would love to get it back in. I think special teams is a part of this game, and I would hate to lose it.
Well, thank you for taking the time. Appreciate you. Have fun at the rest of the owners' meetings here, and then get back to Allen Park, get ready for the draft, and get rolling 24.
Sounds good. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you, Dan. Thanks. Welcome back to the 20 in the Huddle podcast, and I'm very happy to welcome team president Rod Wood. Rod, thanks for taking the time. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Tim.
It's been an interesting offseason. You know, I'm curious, and I asked Dan Campbell this on the podcast too down here. What's the process for you like in the offseason? Do you give yourself time to reflect a little bit and appreciate the run that you guys had, the stuff that you accomplished, or is it immediately just forward focused to 2024 and how do we, you know, take that next step?
A little bit of both. With the long run, the season went a lot longer than we're accustomed to, but I'd like to do that every year. Maybe even go a couple of weeks longer.
Yeah, it wouldn't be bad, huh?
But you couldn't really plan when the off season started because you were getting ready for the next game and you're getting ready for the next game and hopefully the next game. And so we were focused on the games like it was a continuation of the regular season. So we really didn't change our schedule those 3 weeks. You know, same process for practice, meeting with the doctors, et cetera. But then it ends and it's very sudden. We did take, like 10 days off to kind of decompress. And then right back at it. You know, you had free agency coming quickly. We had the draft, obviously, to get ready for. So you felt like you were way behind. But I think we've got a good process in place, and there are other people that were working on those things while we were focused on the game. So I think we're in a good spot now, but I needed some time. It felt like the season wasn't 20 weeks. It felt like it was, 40 weeks.
Yeah. That's a good thing, though, right?
Yes, yes.
One of the first things you guys did in free agency is you extended GM Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell, Chris Spielman. Just how important were those moves for you, Rod, just to continue the continuity and the future of, of the franchise?
Well, it was really important for both the continuity and also, I think, to reward them for what they'd done. And it was a combination of those two things. You know, we had them under contract for 2 years with Brad, 3 years with Dan, but I wanted to get them aligned in terms of the ultimate term and then also reward them for a great season and what we think we've built as a foundation that will lead to great seasons coming in the future.
I know fans are really excited about the uniform stuff. Every few years you get an opportunity to do this. Any grand announcements, huge things? Can you confirm the uniforms and kind of what's the process moving forward?
I can confirm there will be new uniforms. I'm not going to tease what they're going to look like.
But we don't have them out?
No, we're not
going to show them off on the 20
Mile
podcast?
Turn the camera around. They'll be announced close to the draft. I think the fans are really going to like them. They honor our past, but also with a little modern twist. The alternate helmets will be back and maybe a little updated version of the alternate helmet. So Stay tuned.
We're getting lots of teases here. What's that process like? I mean, because it's a year's process, not months, years. And just maybe take us through that process. How involved were you in that?
So the process really starts with us, the team, meeting with Nike and the NFL to kind of go through what we imagine the uniforms would be like. And it was really led by Mike Disner and Brian Ficini and a few others on their staff. The Nike comes back with, here's what we heard. How do you think this tracks with what you're viewing? And we made a number of tweaks along the way. I was kind of looking at things as they were getting close to the finished product and then making edits. And then we involved the whole Ford family ultimately and showed them what we're recommending. And then we, finalize it with the league. When you make a decision like this, you're making it for at least 5 years too. So you want to make sure you're doing it right. Cause we can't make any other tweaks for the next 5 years. And we're not varying too far away from our traditional, colors. But I think the modernization, and the new uniforms will be a hit with the fans.
That's good stuff. Also in the news cycle earlier was the raise in the ticket prices. I know that's a decision that the franchise doesn't make lightly, but I think you guys were ranked 31st in average ticket price last year. Just what went through the decision process to kind of raise the ticket prices there?
Well, we take it very seriously. People are spending hard-earned money with us. We've not raised ticket prices for a number of years. In fact, we actually went down post-COVID a little bit. But with the secondary market demand, which we track, and the demand for single game tickets and what we were able to price those at, we kind of know where the market is. And this was an opportunity maybe to catch up a little bit. I know it felt painful because we hadn't raised them. So catching up is a big jump.
Yeah.
But even with this, I think we're still just below league average. I think we're still the cheapest tickets in our division. I know it hurts. But people still renewed. We're at a 96% renewal rate. We still have almost 20,000 people on the wait list. The playoff tickets were selling for record highs. So the demand is there.
Anybody who was in that building for those two playoff games, especially the Rams, knows the demand.
Yes,
and what that experience is like going to games.
Yeah.
The draft, obviously big deal. How excited is the franchise to kind of help showcase the city of Detroit? And how involved will Ford Field be?
We'll be involved. We're going to have a party at Ford Field. You probably saw that was announced today. And I'm sure some of our fans that will be at that party will wind their way down to Campus Martius and then maybe come back. I think the issue is going to be maintaining crowd control over 300,000 or 400,000 people that might be downtown. We had almost 100,000 people sign up the first day to get the draft pass. It's been a long time in planning and coming, so to have it actually just around the corner is very exciting. We're going to be drafting very late, so we'll keep people there till midnight at least.
You guys might have a few pops beforehand, huh?
waiting for the with the 29th selection, the Lions select. I'm not going to tell you who that is. But it's going to be great. I think it'll be a great 3-day commercial for the city.
I had a Dan on earlier. He talked about free agency and just being really set up for the draft in a great spot. Can you just speak to the job that Mike Disner has done with the salary cap and allowed you kind of that freedom to not only get the guys that you wanted in free agency, but set yourself up to where you could just go get best available in the draft? And it really looks like you guys are set up, and Mike and his team and how handling that salary cap has really helped you in that regard.
Well, one of our long-term goals is to always be maintaining flexibility under the salary cap and preparing for the future. And it's really easy to go all in on 1 year, but then you got to pay the piper in the future years. So we've been planning, I think very judiciously, for a number of years, not only to prepare us for free agency, but to prepare us to be able to re-sign our own guys. Yeah. And that's the next big thing, is we've got a number of contracts expiring that we've got to extend and keep the team together. So it's a combination of preparing you for free agency and also keeping your own guys. And we're in a really good shape. We've got flexibility. And, the salary cap growth this year was something that was a little unexpected. Yeah. So that gave us even a little more flexibility. But we've got a great team in place with Mike and Brandon Sosna, who works for him, and others. And it's a collaborative effort. They're working with me. They're working with Brad. They're working with Dan. And we have a plan that everybody's bought into.
The international marketing announcement was Monday. You guys are going to enter into Canada, Germany, some of the surrounding areas there. Just what went behind that decision, Rod, and why those markets? Obviously, the closest with Canada makes sense, but Germany more specifically.
Yeah, with we've been kind of waiting for an opportunity to do this. Other teams have jumped in a couple of years ago. We wanted to kind of see how it was going to work out. I think with the success of the team, our brand is a little more marketable now than it was a few years ago. Canada, obviously, right across the river from Detroit. The only holdup in marketing into Canada was if we chose to take the country, we couldn't protect Windsor as a home market. So Windsor, now other teams could market in theoretically, but I'll take my chances.
You guys are still in a good spot.
I'll take my chances that we can win that battle. Germany, it's a big market. We're going to be playing NFL games there. St. Brown is one of the most popular, if not the most popular, football player in Germany. So doing things together with him seemed like a natural. And so we're ready, I think, to take that leap now. And we just got approved today, so we're looking forward to starting to develop plans to take advantage of it.
We are here in Orlando. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about, some of the business of the league. A few announcements on Monday. Your proposal for an extra challenge went through. The hip tackle pivot. What?
Hip drop.
Swivel. Hip drop. The hip drop has been taken out of the league. One other one that is kind of close, I get a sense from, but I'm curious kind of the temperature in the room about the new kickoff rules, because that is a very different, new kind of thing. I was just curious kind of where the ownership is at with that, and how close is that to maybe?
Well, we had a very robust discussion about it this morning. Ownership was there, coaching staffs were there, general managers were there. We took a quick poll. It didn't get to the number that needed to pass it. We're going to revisit it tomorrow. We're in favor of it. I think, the kickoff is an exciting play. We want to keep it in the game, but you want to keep it safe.
Yeah.
Last year, I think it was only 18% of kicks were returned. So it was almost kind of a waste of, effort for people running down the field. So this is an opportunity, I think, to test it, keep the kickoff in the game, make it safe. And it also, I think, creates some, interesting scheme opportunities for teams to out-scheme one another. So with our coaching staff, we kind of like the opportunity to out-scheme.
I was going to say, we got a pretty good offensive coordinator and a head coach who really values right. special teams.
And a great
teams.
Special teams coordinator.
100%. Yeah. Well, Rod, thank you so much for taking the time. A little bit more business down here, but the draft is coming. It's an exciting time for the franchise and the city. Thanks so much for taking the time. Right. Appreciate
it. My pleasure,
you.
Tim. Thanks.